honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes as we come down the final stretch with 96-year-old Herb Ford. And before we run out of time, I need to ask you about your most recent adventure, that trip to Washington, D.C. last month with Central Valley Honor Flight.
That experience was one of real joy to be with veterans who had done all kinds of wonderful things during the different wars, and to just have a chance to visit with them over what they did, what we did, to be again in an area where I had had such a good time previously, and to be able to be very close to some of the workings of government also, because we were allowed to go into the House of Representatives and to sit in one of the seats of one of the representatives and to listen to Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, tell us what a great guy he was. That was a real joy. And of course, to be in places that we had had a slight connection with at the Iwo Jima Memorial. I had my picture taken with two other World War II veterans there. And the lowest person in that statue of raising the flag was one of my classmates in South Texas. And then over at the Vietnam Wall, the name of one man named Alan Gilmore is in one of the books I wrote called No Guns on Their Shoulders, about Adventist combat medics, frontline combat medics in Vietnam. And we did a rubbing of his name off of the Vietnam Wall. That was good to have. And the leadership, I thought, of the flight was just outstanding. You yourself were part of it, and all the others. I didn't hear one negative word from anybody of the leadership of that whole thing. And that's a record, I'll tell you.
You mentioned the Marine Corps Memorial and the giant statue of the raising of the flag atop Mount Suribachi, and you mentioned that the lowest man there was a classmate of yours. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Harlan Block was one of the flag raisers there on Iwo Jima. He died 3 weeks after the raising of the flag. He and I were schoolmates at Valley Grande Academy in Weslaco, Texas. Weslaco is right close to the Mexican border and about 15 miles from Harlingen, where I grew up. We used to play touch football in this new academy that was built, and the playing field was an unfinished field. It was just a field. And there were a tremendous lot of burrs, stickers we called them, in the field. And for whatever reason, here in high school, we would play this game in our bare feet. Both Harlan and I and the others picked up hundreds of thousands of these. But Harlan was a tough customer. When we would play football, if you ever got hit by Harlan, you were flat on the ground, I'll tell you. And a second year, attended Weslaco High School rather than this academy, and made quite a name for himself in football. As I told you, I think all young men wanted to be football greats in Texas. And at a certain time, he and all the members of his football team joined the United States Marine Corps. And they sailed, and of course, Harlan's. There was a question about Harlan, about the identity of that lower man. And for some time, it was attributed to another man. And then one of the other flag raisers, Ira Hayes, a Pima Indian from Arizona, heard that this other name was being attributed to the lower man. And he got on the highway and he hitchhiked to Weslaco, Texas, and he found Harlan Block's father, Ed Block, working in the field. And he walked up to him and he told him, "Harlan is the guy on the bottom. I know because I'm right there beside him." And so Ed Block says, "Well, sir, wouldn't you like to come and have supper with us here this evening?" And "No," he said, "I came to tell you that I'm going home." So he goes back, gets on the highway, goes back. Poor Ira Hayes, he drank himself to death. And that was too bad. In 1954, I was assigned to be a leg man to go around and help in news coverage of people in San Francisco. I was assigned to go with a short guy whose name was Joe Rosenthal. He was a staff photographer for the San Francisco Chronicle. And Joe, of course, is the man who took that picture. He was an AP photographer at that time. And as we're going around that evening, I said to him, I said, "You know, I had a friend in South Texas and a classmate who I hear was in the flag raising, but I said, I've heard other things too. Do you know who this really was?" He said, "What was his name?" I said, "His name was Harlan Block of Weslaco." "Yes," he said, "he was." I said, "But how do you know that?" He said, "I'm assigned to come and take pictures here tomorrow night, and I'll let you know then." And so he came the next night, and he had this little, small AP combat photographer's notebook stained and everything else. And he starts leafing through, and he stops on this page, and he says, "Harlan N. Block of Weslaco, Texas. Is that your guy?" I said, "That's my guy." He says, "Here's my notes from the flag raising here." So that was determined. Rosenthal was a very interesting guy, very positive. But he had a good career as a news photographer.
So I don't think there's too many people who've gotten a chance to sit there with the guy who took the famous, maybe the most famous photo of all time, certainly the most famous military photo of all time, and have him check his reporter's notebook to confirm a fact. Did you get a feel for what that photo and that legacy meant to Joe Rosenthal?
It seemed like to me that Joe was one of the most confident fellows in the world. He seemed like he had conquered everything, and even though he had reverted down to staff photographer for the Chronicle, he just seemed to know. He just seemed happy in his suit of clothes. that was Joe. Yeah, he didn't talk much, but when he talked, he said usually pretty good stuff. I think he was very, very proud of the fact that something he had done, you know, mattered.
And you gave us a couple tastes of really how tragic that picture became for those who were captured in the photo, and your friend Harlan Block, who you'd grown up with, you mentioned was killed 3 weeks later in combat. Ira Hayes had a tragic ending. So many of them did. But for you to be there in Washington looking at that statue.
Quite a feeling, both of nostalgia and of regret and a whole lot of things.
And what about going to the National World War II Memorial and seeing that wall of gold stars? Is there something that you contemplated or reflected on there?
Well, I didn't get the feeling from the World War II that other than it's a great and encompassing thing, and it's also got a terrific setting right beside the reflecting pool, and you look right straight down to the Lincoln Memorial. And I thought the thought put into its creation was really very great. And of course, the fact that every state would be noted there and with its people and everything like that, that was big to me, really.
You know, I asked you why pick Karen Island matters. Do Do you have a thought for those of us who weren't around for World War II as to why that period of our history and what happened then still matters today?
Well, it matters because there's a comparison that can be made. One is that World War II, there was no divisiveness. Everybody was in it. Everybody was doing everything they could and committed totally to victory. And I think part of that came out of the soothing, convincing voice of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Today, there's divisiveness. We got to argue about everything. We got to find reasons why we're special and shouldn't be subject to this or that or the other thing. That's the difference, I think. And it's sad, really, because there's strength in unity and there's a lack of strength in divisiveness.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country and thank you for sharing a story that no one else could share with us. If there's anything else that you want to add, feel free. But I am curious, when you look back on 96 plus years, is there something that you would say you're most thankful for or you're most proud of?
I think I'm just very thankful that I've been allowed all the liberties that I've been allowed in life and have been able to access the hope that I have for the future of this life and a future life too. It's just been good to live, even with aches and pains here and there, but they're far, far overshadowed by the good things that were there.
And my last thing, so I asked you what, if you're looking back, I asked you what you're most thankful for, but I get the sense that you do a lot of looking ahead, and you just even indicated that in your answer. So I'm curious, is there anything you haven't done yet, a book you haven't written yet, a project you haven't completed yet, that kind of has you focused and motivated for the future?
Well, I've got parts of 4 book manuscripts right now that I'm working on. And my great hope is that I'll be given breath to finish them off. I think books communicate well for those who decide to take the time to read them. The thought of the lady who, you know, had been searching fruitlessly for her deed to her property and had finally, after 20 years, had found it in her Bible. I think that people who read books are changed a bit, hopefully for the better, by good books. Now, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Herb Ford, 96 years young, and we're going to keep an eye out for more good books to come from this prolific author. Again, you can link to more about his books, that Pitcairn Island Study Center he founded, and photos from his recent honor flight to Washington, D.C. at hometownheroesradio.com or pull up the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.